Welcome to the Hummingbird Effect. Let us touch, move, and inspire you with our unfiltered, honest, life information that speaks to and nourishes your soul. With your host, Farika and Lakita. So what's today's sweet nectar?
We just gonna jump in because we ain't said nothing and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to get started. And we can cut the rest of this out.
Go ahead. This is a continuation of what we were talking about, goals. So now you know our goals.
Well, because we never really said our goals. We never said what our goals are.
No, she didn't.
In the last episode. Not really. No. She didn't specify because she just touched on a few things and based on what she saw for the chart. But we didn't talk about like what our goals are. But if you talk
about your goals.
You know what? Why you keep goal shaming me? Why you goal shaming me though?
We're for Farika's goals.
She's goal shaming me because she doesn't have as many goals. She doesn't aspire to be as great as I am.
You don't need to have.
I have aspirations.
Oh brother, you don't need to have 20,000 goals. Let's jump in.
So, I got a lot of things. I said I'm up to things. This year.
I know big fangs, but let's sometimes you got to narrow those big fangs into a couple big fangs.
Okay.
You got to bite off. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
There you go, Dan.
But it's still an elephant. I got an elephant worth of goals. Okay?
Oh, Lord. All right. So, all right. We got that. So then how are you going to make your new goals? All right. If you don't, so do you know yourself?
Well, don't be trying to get jumping.
Yeah, I'm going to jump. We're going to jump in here and get it started.
I pose that question to the world. How do you make your new goals? I do introspection to make my new goals. Okay. Like each year, I told you how I do my goals. I don't wait until January 1st to start creating goals, or I don't base my goals on the start of a new year. Mm-hmm. I base my goals on where I'm at in my life and what I know I would like to create with my life or things that I need to accomplish to forward my life. And I do that based upon an introspective moment. Me and a friend of mine, Dana thinks she's basically the third wheel of this podcast. Because we mentioned her name so much, she's going to have to be on here in the future.
Essentially, she is.
Sooner
or later, she's going to be getting residuals just because we name her name. I know. It's all good. You know, Dana, I'm right there with you. It's fine.
But we sit and first of all, I came up with the whole notion or I presented the whole notion to her that I always end my year in November.
Right.
I never understand the point of going past November because it's the end of the year for me mentally. It's been a lot of starting points and ending points in my life have occurred in November. And so I've just realized like that's my time. My time to start reflecting upon my life for the next year. I start in November. So we do an introspection moment. We think about what we've accomplished. We look at what we did from last year or that year, you know, analyze it. And then we start writing down. And this is where she comes in. She took a course where she learned about goal setting.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Nice tie-in.
Nice little tie-in goal setting. And, you know, and there's a way that we go about it. We have a structure. We'll share it later in this podcast.
Okay.
But we have a structure on how we categorize.
Yes. Okay.
Our lives. And by categorizing it, it gives us an opportunity to introspect each area, right?
Uh-huh.
Where we at? What we want? What we going to do with that? Where we at? Where we want? What we going to do with that, right? And we even have an area called fantasy.
Okay. Well,
we'll talk about that too.
We'll dig into it. But now, I guess so. The thing is, the reason why you and I are talking about this is because, like you say, we're going to try to begin 2019 with, you know, to do big things in 2019 with a focus on possibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Possibilities and not necessarily resolution.
Right.
You know, because all of us, we do these things and we have a habit of kind of getting comfortable each year with, okay, I'm going to make a resolution and blah, blah, blah. And, you know.
Exactly.
So.
And that's the reason I don't like resolutions, you know?
Right.
Like, I always say resolution means like you're resolving something. What are we resolving?
Yeah.
You know, it comes across like, I'm broken, something's wrong, and now I gotta fix it. And so I'm gonna, once a year, try to fix myself.
Right.
Right? And then, when you don't get fixed.
Yes.
In the first 30 to 60 days, then you're pissed or you're falling off and you're like, forget it.
Right.
I'm not fixable. Right. And then you make yourself wrong or whatever you go about doing.
Exactly.
Or you start inserting then things that, you know, so like say you don't lose the weight, then you start going out and buying stuff.
Yeah. Or doing, you know, doing some things that are like trying to do these quick fixes.
Yes. Quick fixes and stuff like that. And then when you don't, you're like, forget it. And you go back to shopping. If that was where, if saving money was a thing, you just implement something else, you know?
Right.
So it's like, you know, it makes you question, you know, like, are you a problem? You know? Who are you disputing or contentious with? Is it yourself?
Right.
Right? Like, when you are resolving something, that's really what a resolution or resolving is, right?
Right.
It's like, and what are you contentious with? Instead of solving a problem, mm-hmm. we're coming from the space of creating what is possible and mm-hmm. challenging yourself to be resolute.
Yes. Not resolving, but resolute.
Right.
Yes.
Which is purposeful, determined, mm-hmm. bold and unwavering.
Right.
You know, when we're looking at the goals for 2019, and you know, like I said, I'm up to big bangs, you know.
Yes.
Coming from a space of self-reflection.
Yes.
You know, getting to know ourselves mm-hmm. in an uncomfortable space.
Yeah,
you know?
Making ourselves a little uncomfortable to really start looking and knowing who we are.
Mm-hmm. Right, stretching ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And achieving new growth.
Yeah.
You know, your dreams, possibilities, and et cetera, build into your new growth, and they help you build your goals.
Exactly.
So, welcome to the Hummingbird Effect, where innovation inspires innovation from one passion to another. I'm your host, Farika, the ageless voice, beauty expert, keeper of receipts. That's right, damn it. I know where you I got a receipt. AKA the human Google, lover of fun facts. That is me, with my co-host,
Lakita, the bold voice, the energizer bunny, workout queen, and mother of sunshine.
I like that. Every time you say that, mother of sunshines.
Aww.
It seems like it's doing more than just sunshines. Like it's like you're mother of the sun or something. You know?
Aww.
That's kind of cool. Aww. All right. That's about all the compliments you're getting today. And moving along. I kid.
You're cut off.
We are Farika
and Lakita,
hosts of the Hummingbird Effect podcast,
using our lives to inspire others.
Join us as we share
from one passion to another
on FunkyPeopleRadio.net. So what do you do when you wake up?
Right.
I mean, I know for myself, I'm on social media, and mm-hmm. it's a sad thing, and it's a sad reality. And I know I'm not the only one because I see you all too. So why before you start trying to judge me, okay? Like, judge yourself because I see y'all on there because your little lights be green on Facebook and Instagram and it tells on you. It tells that you up at 7:00 in the morning instead of getting ready for work. That's why you late for work.
Everybody's on that social media kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then it makes you go, why?
Yeah. Why do we do that?
Why,
Farika? Why?
Well, for me, you know, you wake up and you're looking for something inspiring or you're looking for something to read. Sometimes I do it just to wake myself up because mm-hmm. otherwise I will lay there in the bed and I'll go back to sleep. So it's like, okay, make me mentally active to look and read something or look at something so that my brain wakes up, you know?
Yeah.
But in some cases, it's just like, you know, you're looking at other people's happiness.
True.
And their beauty and their health and their wealth. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, it has us all jacked up in that we think that that's real.
Yeah.
Like, you never see that. I'm waiting. I think I should. I'm about to express something that I don't want nobody else to do it, okay? Because I think I'm going to do this.
Oh.
I'm going to make an unhappy Instagram account.
A sad Instagram.
Sad Instagram account. I want to see how many likes I get from a sad ass. I'm going to call it the sad ass Instagram account.
Like, oh, man, that's depressing.
Just put all, like a kid dropping the ice cream and crying and shit. Put that photo on there, you know what I mean? You know? with your hair ain't quite done. That photo on there. That bad color job that you got, you paid all that money. Put that shit on there. Not the good flowing hair. I want to see when you woke up and you realized you had a pimple on your face that day. Put that photo on there. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to make one. Y'all could go and start looking for it. I ain't made it yet, but just be on the hunt. Be on the lookout for the sad ass Instagram account.
Oh my God, that is funny.
Because this is reality, okay? Right. Everything ain't happy and beautiful and healthy and wealthy and wise, you know? Sometimes it's just some sad ass shit out there, okay?
Pretty much. But I mean, the idea of it is we're doing that because we want this instant gratification without trying to find that. Within ourselves.
Exactly.
Without being introspective. Mm-hmm. And that's where we really want to focus. Because we have to start looking within for our own peace of mind.
Yes.
And that has to happen in order for us to goal set.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, we're sitting here talking about it as we're projecting out about others. But even us, you know, like we with the podcast, you know, we wanted the process to be quick and an overnight success. I mean, we ain't gonna lie. We're still looking for that second success. Of income.
Exactly. We
still trying to monetize
money.
But in the meantime, we were like, oh my God, you want to talk about something? So Lakita would be checking the stats like every day. Oh, we got 2 listeners. Oh, we got 2 more downloads. Oh, we're up to 5. Oh my God, we're up to 10. Oh. I'd be like, can you talk to me when we're up to 1,000? Because I don't want to hear the in-betweens. The increments is just driving me crazy, okay? But she was living for it at that moment, and it was driving me crazy because I wasn't living for it in that moment like that. Plus, I wanted to be a slower pace, and you were like, come on.
Yes. Yes.
Boom, energize the bunny on the set. That's good. And I'm like, oh, God.
No, that's who I am.
I know. Boom,
the thing, but again, that falls in line again with the whole thing of I was looking at other people's podcasts and you're just like, oh, wow, I want to be there and I want to do this without taking the time to look at us.
And to consider that they weren't overnight successes.
Exactly.
Either.
We don't. So the thing, the foul thing about Instagram is that all you see is the highlights.
Well, not just Instagram, social media.
Well, social media, yes, you're right.
Podcasts, anything that's quick and around the world within seconds.
Yeah.
So social media, podcasts, anything that you can project to the world within seconds, we think that the same seconds it took for it to get to the world, that the process to getting it there was just as easy and quick.
Right. It was overnight microwave fame type of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
She took my statement.
My bad. Mm-hmm. I took your microwave fame.
Yes, I came up with microwave fame. My bad. I coined that. Thank you.
Yes, that's Farika's.
And even if you heard somebody else say that, they said it, I said it first. Okay.
Copyright patent. There you go. Okay. So. So anyway, the thing is, we have to kind of get out of that mindset because that was what messes up our goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so let's kind of dial it back a little bit and talk about Ayanna Van Zandt's message for 2019. You know, we've got to learn to clean up and get it clean.
And she will be correcting you.
I'm sorry. I always mess up her name.
I don't know. You just like E's to be I's to be I's. You're very American about that.
I guess I am. Well, you know why? I'm a reading teacher. So the I has to be an I. You know,
it's very American because in other cultures.
I am a reading teacher.
Phonetics, I is an E in all other languages.
I know that, but I.
Ayanna.
Mm-hmm. Ayanna Van Zandt. Okay. Anyway. Her message is to clean up and get it clean in 2019. So that whole thing, how do you get clean? You got to clean your house from the inside. Well, do you? Okay.
No.
So,
go ahead. If you had to clean your house.
There you go.
Do you start from the outside in or the inside out? That is the question that she posed. And it's the common sense would say, you're going to go from the inside out. But some people are actually more concerned with curb appeal than they are with the structure of their house.
That is true.
You know, they're not worried about the basement.
No.
They all outside making everything look cute. And then you get in the basement and it's cracked foundation.
That's true.
And the house can cave in any minute.
That is true.
But they don't care because they want to make sure that the curb appeal is what people see. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
But like your house, you know, you clean up yourself from the inside out.
Yes.
You start with self-reflection and introspection.
Introspection.
Hey, I got it. No. Hey, I'm going to think about myself. I wonder what I was thinking about that. Wow, did I get rid of my past? Man, what will the future look like if I really did?
Introspection. Sorry, we are 70s babies. You know, y'all don't know nothing about
that. Speak for yourself. I'm an 80s child.
Whatever, dude.
I like to say that I was there, but I really wasn't there in the 70s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Introspection. The examination or observation of one's own mental and emotional processes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to say, no, Farika, really? What does that have to do with
it? Well, I was going to say, it's another way of saying.
Look at yourself.
Thank you.
Take a look at the man and the woman in the mirror.
Exactly.
I mean, Michael Jackson.
Looking at the man in the
right.
mirror.
Michael Jackson said it best. He sang it better, too, but that's not the point.
My bad. me.
No.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Getting back to this. So yeah. Introspection. Mm-hmm. Looking at yourself.
When you're setting up goals.
Yeah.
After you've done introspection. I mean, like, how do you go about this process, right?
Yes.
Setting goals is a process. And a lot of people don't realize that the process is rooted with action.
Yeah.
You know, you can write a million things on a piece of paper, but without action, they just living ideas on a piece of paper.
Exactly. So that vision board has to be fluid. You know what I mean? It has to be, you've taken the time to post all these things up. Don't just sit there and look at it.
Yeah. Like it's just, it is to inspire you, but it is to inspire action from you in the areas that you created.
Exactly.
You're saying that you want to create.
Yep.
So the action is looking within, or the introspection.
Right.
Assessing strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Assessing needs and wants. And lessons learned, right? So you have to look at where you're coming from to know where you're going.
Preach. I mean, so the whole idea here is that you want to assess your inner self. Okay, so that you can, so a goal can be set, you know, a plan can be created towards reaching that goal. You know, you can only set that goal if you have an idea of what are your strengths and weaknesses and how does that affect your wants and needs. And then, you know, what lessons can you take from, what have you learned from the past that will help to inform you, okay, this is what I can do differently for this goal, or this is the reason why I want to set this goal because last year this didn't turn out right.
Or leave the past behind you where it belongs because it's done and there's nothing you can undo about it.
There you go.
And then try to create a new future that is unknown and start from just being saying what you want to declare and putting it out there.
You're right.
You know, like a lot of times we stick too much to the past and all we do is repeat it.
This is true.
Because we don't want to create anything new out of it.
Yeah.
You know, out of the future. Like the future hasn't happened.
That is true.
Anything that you deposit into it already. Mm-hmm. You've done it already.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Something to think about.
And it falls in line, too, with the whole idea of coming out of your comfort zone.
Comfort zone.
Come and stretching yourself. And that's the thing that we say we wanted to try and do. So right. I get it. Okay.
Now, there are opportunities in life, you know, that can occur instant. And as they come instantly with the instant gratification, they can also come with some instant unforeseeable problems because you did not start off with a plan or on how to manage the results that you're getting, right?
Right.
So sometimes if you don't have a plan, then it becomes lost or mismanaged unless you put it in work, put in the work or create the process to it.
Right.
So people forget that behind everything, there is a process.
Right.
No matter what you see on Instagram and social media or anything out there that seems so quickly, the Cardi B's and you rise to fame and stuff like that, didn't happen overnight. You don't see the process because people are good at hiding that. It's just like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't see, you're getting the smoke and mirrors.
Right.
But you don't know that there's somebody behind the mirrors and the smoke making it happen. Mm-hmm. Even the smoke and mirrors have to be made. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Yep.
One example that comes up is recently there was a Netflix movie that came out called The Fire Concert. And I think it's called The Fire Concert That Never Happened.
Yes, the
like
concert
that,
yep.
The concert that never happened.
Right, the greatest concert that never happened.
Yeah. And if you haven't watched it, oh my God, watch it. Because it is just like the prime example of where our society is at this point, where we're all trying to instantaneously live our lives.
Exactly.
You know, overnight success to the point that we don't even realize we're living a con.
Yeah.
We are living a con.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by con, if you don't know, is like we're living a big scam.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's a prime example of it, right? And it's a prime example of not wanting to do the process to have the results that you want.
Right. They didn't even have a, excuse me, a clear-cut goal.
No. They did. No, they did. Oh, make money.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But there was no...
Entertain people and make money.
Yes.
And create this illusion of grandeur.
Grandeur. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what they did is that they created this... That's exactly what they did. So they did achieve the illusion of grandeur because it was...
Grandeur.
Grandeur.
Mm-hmm. Grandeur. Illusion of grandeur.
Door.
Not grandeur. Okay, we'll look that up. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So, anyway, they created an illusion.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because that's all the people that ended up getting there got was an illusion. They realized it was all fake and it was all phony. And it was because the people weren't putting together a process or a plan. The guy who was the creator of it kept everyone in the dark. He had the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing.
Exactly.
And so everybody was buying into a different story of mm-hmm. what they were doing and right. what they were creating. And so nothing connected. There was no process to it. And next thing you know, they were not having nothing happen.
It was
terrible. The people got there and the people getting there, they came and their bags were all jumbled together. The luxurious bungalows and tents that they were said that they were paying for to right. stay in were not any, they didn't exist.
Nope.
The tents were terrible. They didn't have bedding. They were fighting. It was like Lord of the Flies and
yeah.
Survival of the Fittest. Like they were fighting for survival on this island that they didn't pay. I think it was paying like $4,000 and crazy amounts of money to be there.
And then they added an additional, I think like $4,000 for them, those bracelets that they were supposed
to. Stupid
stuff. It was just craziness.
It was like nothing made sense. You know, it makes you go, had one of the businesses, because there were several different entities
that were
all
involved.
Creating
yeah.
this based upon this one guy's idea, right? Had one of those businesses, and these were businesses who have been in business for a minute. This wasn't no pop-up shop type businesses. These were marketing firms and et cetera.
Exactly.
They've done business before where they knew what they were doing because they had their own processes. Had any of them just stuck to their own processes and not tried to take themselves out of their comfort in this case because of him creating this,
well, you know. He didn't produce a plan and they didn't assess. They didn't.
There it is. Yeah. He didn't produce a plan Mm-mm. and they knew that they usually function with plans mm-hmm. because they knew the plans and processes worked for them in their former business endeavors, right?
Right.
By doing this, they didn't do that.
No.
So then it comes to that lack of self-reflection.
Right.
Like no one in that group of people and the group's different organizations thought to say, wait a second, let me think on this for a second. Who's accountable for this?
Right.
What are we accountable for?
And what's our goal here?
And what's our goal here?
What's our collective goal?
Yeah, our collective, our individual goal. No one stopped to say that they even took the notion to do that.
They didn't do the process.
And the few people who had some insight, they got rid of them.
They got booted off the island.
They literally snuck the tiki lamps.
Yes.
And kicked them off the island.
Like, really bye-bye. Funny.
You know, it just makes you go that these are the things that people, you know, our whole society right now, especially younger generation, because these people are like most of them were in their 20s
yeah,
and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few people that were older. We don't even want to talk about the guy that was the oldest.
No.
You know, you like, really, dude, you should really know better. But anyway, that this is what's happening is that the younger the generations are, the quicker they want to live through life.
Exactly. They don't want to take the time to self-reflect and think about what are my wants, what are my needs, how am I going to get there,
right?
You know, and what is the goal, what is my end goal, and is it a solid, you know, foundation? Because, you know, that motivation about money is a whole nother conversation, and mm-hmm. we'll get to that. I think we're not, the younger generation is not trying to do the process.
Mm-hmm.
And any type of goal or success that's worth getting, you have to have a process to do it.
Definitely. I mean, myself, I came to DC
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of thrown into doing hair full time.
Right.
It was not the plan. Plan was to get a job, but the job thing wasn't happening. And it evolved where I ended up finding more, I was being more lucrative in the aspect of doing hair that I had took on as a hobby.
Right.
Right. So my hobby turned into an actual full on career, I guess you could say, or mm-hmm. job or mm-hmm. thing to do basically full time. That's why I made my money. And because of that, I didn't have a true plan about it.
Right.
And it just came. It was that instant gratification.
Right.
With those unforeseeable instant problems.
Yes.
You know? So I had to learn, had to get ahead of myself, I guess you could say. Yeah. I had to get ahead of myself by starting to create, based upon experiences, rules and methods and processes so that when people showed up, I knew, I said, you're going to, my schedule is this. You can't just pop up on me. You can't just call me at the last minute. These type of things I had to implement to jump ahead so that as I build myself up from these first 2 to 3, 4 clients and knew I could expand to more, that I had things that was consistent.
But think about what you did. You start thinking about what happened over that year. You know, you self-reflected.
Yeah,
you did that introspection.
You're right.
And that's the piece that we've been, you know, we're talking about.
You're right.
You can't come up with another plan or goal mm-hmm. if you don't start thinking about, okay, what has happened?
Right.
That is like the key.
That is very true.
You did that. And but unfortunately, and you had to do it because you were kind of forced into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings us up to this whole furlough thing.
Yes,
you
know,
yeah.
That's a force.
Yeah, it is a force now. People, it's making people have to look at, all right, well, I got to look within now to determine how I'm going to get through this.
And a lot of, I think, you know, every bad is a good is how I've always been taught and learned, you know, every bad is a good, even though the furlough was not what we wanted and it was not expected.
No,
I'm sure that some people, if they really want to look at the glass half full versus mm-hmm. half empty, mm-hmm. can see that they got more value out of it. And those 30 something days, 35 odd days.
Yep.
That they got value to see I know people who were saying they always wanted to be a housewife, and this mm-hmm. gave them the opportunity to be with their family for once mm. and nurture their family, cook meals that they always complained they never had time to cook.
Right.
Be genuinely in their family's life for a day-to-day basis that they didn't always have the opportunity when they were going to work. Mm-hmm. And it gave them that self-reflection also for some families about how their spending was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What they were spending their money on mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, wow, why can't we live for 35 days without a check? You know what I mean? Like, what do we, then, you know, you got to do that financial analysis and some self-analysis. Like, do we really need this?
Exactly.
Is this really that important to us?
Yeah.
What's really important to us that really gives us the satisfaction of a life that we love? Is it all these gadgets and these trinkets, you know, these tangibles? Maybe it's the value of, like I said, the one person I was talking about, the value of family.
Right.
And being together with people.
Right.
I think it brought up a lot of things for people. You know, is this a disappointment versus fulfillment? And nothing lasts forever. I mean, it didn't last forever, mm-mm. but it got them to wondering, did they get out of their comfort zone?
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
It really forced them to get uncomfortable because then they started acting.
Yeah.
You think about some of the things that people started acting to do.
People took hobbies and turned them into passions
exactly.
and monetized off.
I mean,
hobbies and passions, I should say, and turned them into monetized opportunities.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, some of these people's side hustles. This one guy was a voice actor and now he's doing it from
part-time
to full-time
until
his job kicked back in, which was not too long ago. And then there was the two sisters that were, you know, pie makers or cake makers or something.
I think
baked goods. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want Ellen.
Oh,
and, you know, they went from in their homes cooking together as family does, right?
Mm-hmm.
As two sisters. And then now they're on Ellen.
Exactly.
You know, so it's a gift of time to fulfill dreams.
Well, it gave them the gift of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to look again, that introspective piece.
That self-discovery.
It really kind of helped people to do all of these different things.
Yeah.
And from that, I'm sure that they now have some different goals.
I bet you they do.
Because
I bet you that person that was saying that they love their, that they love taking the opportunity to be the housewife for a moment, I bet you she's going to now start adding in more time in her day or trying to find a way of getting more time in her day so that she can fulfill upon that more consistently than she ever did before.
Exactly.
Because you can't tell me you can turn that off.
No, you can't.
Seeing your child every day.
Exactly.
Coming home, your husband, you know, and you taking care of him and, mm-hmm. you know, baking and mm-hmm. cooking things that you wouldn't normally have the time to
exactly.
to elaborate, you know, do that kind of elaborate cooking and stuff. I'm sure she's going to try to probably add that to her life.
I'm sure she, yeah.
Yeah, to continue yeah. that. Yep. So it gives you a different perspective. There's always a question that when you're goal setting that, well, let me just say it this way. There's always a question that I have to ask myself. Goal setting is, how do you set your goals if you don't know what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Like, what do you want? What do you want to create in the world? That's how you set your goals. At least that's how I go about setting my goals. That's how I've learned to set my goals. Right. And we've already talked about the introspection.
Right.
But the action to doing that is also got to be a willingness to want to do something. You have to have a willingness to want to be in action. Sometimes you'll say, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Okay, really? So when you put that down, are you really committed to being a millionaire and all the actions and steps it's going to take? Because it's not going to be overnight.
No.
It's not going to be easy.
Right.
It's going to have some bumps and kinks, and you're going to have to be ready to go through all of that. And I know for myself,
mm-hmm.
I can't speak for others, but sometimes that's the reason why certain goals like be a millionaire don't get on my list.
Right, right, right.
Because although I want it,
mm-hmm.
I have to, you know, sometimes I step back and I get, you know, intimidated mm-hmm. by what all it's going to take to accomplish it.
And that's, I kind of, I'm going to piggyback on that with you. It's that for me, but it's also the fear of, okay, so what if I am a success?
Yeah.
How do I uphold
this? How do I uphold it?
Right.
How do I continue? Mm-hmm. How do I top that?
Right. Right. If I come out of the off, you know, out of the gate smoking,
yeah.
you know, where else is there for me to go?
Look at some of the mm-hmm. people that we consider instantaneous fame, you mm-hmm. know, or microwave famous, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
They're microwave famous, but then they too have to live in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Showing us they can top their last fame.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The last thing they were famous for. There's a slogan for that. Oh, I can't think of it now. It's a slogan for it, basically, where you're saying, like, you're famous today and now that's over. You now have to top that in
right.
a sense, right?
Right.
Oh, I can't wish. I hate when I can't think of cliches.
That one, you know, you can't ask me that. It'd be like, the red fox is mixed in with the circle.
Oh,
and the,
no.
Me and cliches don't, because I get them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that was going for.
I was just showing you how I confuse. That's why I don't usually do cliches.
I know what it is. You're only as famous as your last performance, or you're only as good as your last performance.
Yes.
is the statement. And that's basically what, you know, when you become a success, yeah. you have to top that.
Yep.
Another way of looking at goals is categorization, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing your introspection, well, I will just say this is how Dana and I go about it, right? Like, we categorize areas of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
that we want to create in, right?
Okay.
It could be something like spirituality and well-being.
Right.
Health and fitness.
Right.
See,
finances,
mm-hmm. right? Business or personal development.
Okay.
Then we throw in one called fantasy.
Aha.
Now, we talked about this mm-hmm. earlier, and I said fantasy is the one area where we put down all the goals that we know we will chicken out on.
Exactly. Let's see, about maybe 200 out of your right. 300.
Shut up. You went somewhere else with this joke. I'm sorry.
My bad. I was just teasing.
I told you I got big things I'm up to.
All right.
Anyway, fantasy. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. okay, that's where I want to be a millionaire goes.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I know I'm chicken about how all the steps could be, but I really do want to be a millionaire. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to have a lot of money. Who doesn't? But am I going to do all the steps there? But if it really could happen, boy, wouldn't I be happy. And sometimes, as funny as that, if you remember what Nicole said, when she looked at my fantasy one, she was like, you really want to live these out? And I'm like, yeah, I really do.
You
really do. It's just that, you know, thing she said was that I need the confidence.
Yes, you do. Yes.
To live out those things. If I got that confidence, I would, right?
Right.
So the fantasy is, you know, that one area. And I invite people to create a fantasy list. Because you know what's funny is that?
What's that?
Even though I put it on the fantasy list, and like she said, I want to live them out, mm-hmm. you still start kind of creating your life to have it.
You're right, because you've already put it out there.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. just don't want to share it because in case it don't work out, you don't want to share it. But you really, but because you secretly want it, then you really find yourself like, okay, you're playing. But you just don't want everybody to know that you're playing on the court.
Right.
You know, you don't want anybody to see you on the court. Right. But you at the end practicing on the basketball court, just practicing your dribble. But you don't want to act like, you don't want to suit up.
Right. Or you're over in the corner doing your little dance steps right, while everybody right, else right. is out on the floor. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you're like, I don't want them to see me dancing, but I know all the moves to that
exactly.
dance.
Exactly.
Exactly. So right. that's the fantasy category.
Yeah, okay. But now, okay. So let's get back to, even though it is a fantasy category, mm-hmm. you have the willingness to try to do it. Yes. You know what I mean? And part of that, you have to determine your wants and your needs and your desires in order to get...
distinguishing them.
Yeah. Yeah,
because sometimes we get them, kind of collapse them.
Yeah.
You know, we have desires and we say that that's a need and it's really not a need.
No.
And then we have needs and we say that that's really a want.
Right. Well, and now here's the thing with that. If it's a need, it may not necessarily fall under that fantasy. I think the fantasy category is like things that you desire. And that also may be one of the reasons why you're just like, okay, I don't know if I really want to, you know what I mean?
Very true.
So that's again, part of, then we jump into, okay, so let's, in order to kind of further determine those things, then I think we have to look at, okay, is it a passion versus...
something that you're having to do something about. I'd like to look at it as the things that further your life.
Okay.
So those are the things that you are, that's more of a need and a want. It can be a desire, but it's furthering your life. Is it enhancing your life? You know, mm-hmm. like, in other words, those are the things that are usually what we call goals.
Okay.
You never put down, I mean, the goal to pay a bill that you know you have to pay.
Mm-hmm. That's not
really a goal because that's a part of life. It's a day-to-day activity.
Exactly.
But the goal of paying your bills on time.
Uh-huh.
And consistently and getting out of debt.
Right.
That's usually a goal that people, because it furthers your life. It's taking it one step beyond normal. Taking it one step beyond every day, right? Okay. You know, for spirituality, if it is for you to get a closer connection to God, what are you doing about that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you could say prayer, but that some for some people, that's an everyday thing. So if that's an everything thing for you already, what are you doing to expand upon that? Further the game, you know, as they say.
Right.
In that area.
Right. So let me kind of tie this back again to our introspection piece. So that kind of, you have to kind of look in determining what you want.
Mm-hmm.
That introspection piece is where you do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you determine, you know, okay, what are these needs and what are these desires, you know?
Passion versus the having to do something.
Exactly.
So the having to do something could look like, well, for you, you have a job.
Yes. Which, I mean, I like.
And it's great and it pays the bills, right?
Hey, there you go.
Is it your financial goal or is it your job fulfillment?
Right. Exactly. And so when I do my introspection, I look at mine and self-reflection.
Introspection,
yeah.
Same difference.
When I start looking at it, it's not necessarily, it's a job because it's a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
But is it, you know, a passion?
So what's the motivation? The motivation for you sounds like something you have to do.
Yeah.
Like the job is good, but it's something you have to do in order to
fulfill a goal of financial. So let's look at it from that standpoint.
Okay, for you. Okay.
Yeah, for me, it fulfills a financial goal.
Okay.
So by a certain time, my goal is to be able to do thus and so financially.
Mm-hmm.
So there it fulfills that. And when I kind of sat and thought about, all right, well, what is it that do I need this? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a desire? No.
And see, that's where the passion and the motivation mm-hmm. comes from, because passions are self-motivated.
Right.
Passions don't need necessarily to have an end game.
Right.
Like an end result.
Right.
Right. Like to obtain something.
Right.
Or get something out of it. Passions, you can just do on and on and on and on. So you'd like almost die because you love it so much.
This is true.
In your case, for example, though, what often happens to us is that we get demotivated or we fizzle out because we're not coming from a space of creating what's possible or creating it like it's a real happiness from a place of like happiness or something like that, right?
Okay.
We're just in a vicious cycle. We got to go to work to pay bills. It's not the job that fulfills us. So, but we got bills to pay. We got financial goals to attain. So we go to the job that pays the bills and we just get in this endless loop, right?
Right.
That's a demotivator.
Right.
Like we lose our motivation because what you're really trying to do is financial goals.
Yes.
You can fulfill that too with something that you are happier about. If you're not coming from that motivation of that space of like, okay, I'm going to create this possibility of being happy. And from that, I'm going to then invoke action around a job that I love. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I do have these bills and I have these and I want to get out of debt.
Right.
You know, it's a different. And that's what sometimes can cause our desire for microwave success.
Right.
Like microwave fame. Like,
right.
We want stuff to happen so quickly because we want to get out. And then go and do something else.
Because we've been, because we've been demotivated, so to speak. Yeah. I got you.
Mm-hmm. What do we do? We got steps to action.
Right. How are we going to make those goals active?
You have to put stuff into existence.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just about, okay, I got these goals. These goals only live where? They don't live until you actually start being in action on them. And the first step of action is actually writing them down.
Write it down!
Because a lot of people just be having goals popping up in their head and they try to remember everything and that doesn't work.
Right.
Short term, and this is physiological. Yeah.
Physiological?
This is physiological. That's right, I'm educated.
Okay.
I have to pause. That's my dramatic pause because I'm about to say something profound as far as I'm concerned. But physiologically, we have short-term and long-term memory.
Gotcha.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So short-term memory is literally moment by moment, minute by minute, okay? And as many ideas as we process, we don't retain them all because they're in a short term. The only way you can retain everything that you think is to write it down. Put it into existence. Gotcha. Either write it down, put it into action, actually do whatever it is that you said that you were thinking about doing.
Right.
Or create time, space, or form for it. Create something from it. Like actually physically create something from the idea or the thought that you had.
Right. That's, well, essentially create a plan. Do some, put some steps down. And how do you write?
Write it down. So it doesn't exist until you put it into existence. It's something that I learned. One of the ways that I've learned how to create goals is to set out a date in the future and work your way back to the present.
So there's some steps you're saying.
Yes. Okay. So you would create the goal and say, let's just say by February 1st, I want to buy a house. Let's just say that was the goal.
All right.
Okay? So by February 1st, you want to buy a house. Mm-hmm. Well, there's steps that's going to have to occur for that to happen,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so you would say after that, on January 31st, I have found the house and have already gone into contract. Right.
By January 31st, I have found the house and have gone into contract.
Right. Got or you. Something to that degree.
Got
right?
it.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't. Really, maybe I should have picked a point or a goal that I can really say all the steps to.
I can help you with that one. It's okay.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can even scale it back a little bit further.
Well, let's just say by December 31st, you would have found the house, let's just say. And then say by January 1st, you have gone into
contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So by January 31st, you are ready to sign off and close right? You're closing on the house. There you go. Okay. So you would work your way backwards. So really where I said December 31st, that was just because I don't really know about, I couldn't come up with the steps of the house buying process.
But that works. I mean, that's a good enough example.
Backwards and say, January 31st, closing on the house.
Yes.
January 1st,
sign paperwork
or whatever.
Put a contract in.
Yeah, contract in or something like that. And December 31st, found the ideal home.
Yes.
And wherever you were, let's say you were on November 1st at that point when you're making this plan, then on November 1st is have the greatest realtor ever.
Right. Find a good realtor.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Find a realtor, get the approval.
Right.
Would be November 1st if that's where you were.
Exactly.
On that date. And so it's not to say,
by November 1st, you better have a realtor and approval.
It's to give you a measure or a goal, map. A map outline, and a timeline to proceed by, and knowing that life will show up when you're making other plans. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if that is the case, then you want to insert the flexibility, or be flexible that life is going to show up when you're making other plans, and that you're going to have to maybe change some of these dates.
And you have enough space in between to make those adjustments if needed, if need be. It lessens the idea of you being hard on yourself because that didn't you didn't necessarily hit that mark.
Correct.
Yes.
In essence, that's what we're saying, is to, you know, that's a way to measure goals and to have actions under them.
And to make your goals actionable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actionable.
Hey, there you go. That's a word. Mm-hmm. Don't mess with me.
Oh, well, I just was saying.
No, it's okay.
Okay. So, yes, actionable.
Actionable.
Sure. Oh.
Lord, don't start tomato, tomato. Let's go.
I don't have a tomato.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm seriously like, is that a word? Can I have a blonde?
Webster's.
Can I have a dumb moment? No, that's I shouldn't have said blonde.
No,
sorry.
No.
I'll take that out. All right. I'm sorry, take that away. And inside of that, you're also making declarations.
Uh-huh.
Because how do you continue to remember what you're committed to?
Or how do you continue to be kind of motivated for it?
Yeah. You're making commitment statements or declarations that say, okay, I am, you know, up to being, I don't know, ending world hunger. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, man.
And that's a big one. But I'm just saying, some people dream big, girl. Dream big.
All right, now.
Dream big and fall.
Big things. Big things.
Dream big and fail big. That's the way you get things done.
Okay? All right, now.
Let's just say it was world hunger, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you make a declaration that I'm going to be the person that does the world, cures world hunger, it doesn't mean that you're the only person.
No.
You will create a team. You will do all the things that are necessary. You will create a plan that there will allow you to get to the steps, that it will take to end world hunger.
Gotcha.
So it's making that declaration and creating a plan and then being in action, right?
Yes.
Another thing is, when you're creating this plan, create a plan with failure in it.
Yes.
Because you're going to fail.
Exactly. You're going to have to be flexible.
A little flexible. Mm-hmm. That everything won't be smooth.
No.
You know, and happen on time. And happen as perfectly as we want it to be. Those are thwarted intentions. You know, we intend for things to always happen. But that's not quite how it happens.
No, it doesn't. As social media will, again, give you that illusion that it can. But no, it really will not.
Right.
So
and reward yourself.
Yeah.
Be kind to yourself. That's what I was looking for earlier.
Uh-huh.
Be kind to yourself. Not just a reward. Because rewards, sometimes people think of tangibles. Like, I'm going, now that I lost this weight, I'm going to go and eat me a two-layer cake.
Right.
That's not quite a reward. Might seem like it's a reward in the moment because you think tangibles, but that's not quite a reward. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Meaning, I lost this weight.
I'm going on vacation to show it off.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to buy myself some new clothes. Yeah. I'm going to buy this new bathing suit.
Or compliment yourself.
Yes.
I look really good now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so scrumptious. I think my forever man should just be knocking at my door and I shouldn't have to do a thing.
Oh, my heaven. Okay.
Yes. Okay, maybe that was a little in that fantasy realm. But anyway.
Which goal is that? Goal number 3,000? Okay.
And step back and reevaluate.
Right.
Like, okay, you got that plan with the flexibility in it, and now you see it, you've come stumble across an upset or a failure, right?
Yeah.
Something that upset you or failed at something, and so now you got to reevaluate.
Right.
Step back. It's okay that everything doesn't happen as you planned. It's okay that everything doesn't get fulfilled in that year, that month, that whatever that time frame that you gave yourself to accomplish this goal. So reevaluate it. Let me tell you how many times every year organization is on my list, okay?
Join a club.
Every year organization is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. Now, I really should be tired of it, but I can't let go and I can't give it up because I know what it means to me and how it has a positive impact on my life once I do it, right?
Right.
So the reason why it stays on my list is not because I fail at it every year.
No.
It's because I want to improve upon it every year.
Exactly.
And it's because I want to expand what I have done every year and into the next year so that I can be fulfilled in that area. I find happiness adding it back to my list mm-hmm. because it's a muscle that I know is a naturally weak muscle for myself.
Uh-huh.
And I always say to y'all, and I need to build it in the gym of life.
Hey, I'm
with you. So I need to constantly build it. So I step back, I reevaluate, I try this method, I try that method, I go back and go, why didn't I finish that project? Right. Oh, okay, because, well, I wasn't really organized about it.
Right.
Or, you know, I put things in place. And that's just what I'd like to say that I do. So that's why I, you know, give yourself the grace. In other words, be gracious to yourself. Be kind to yourself, you know, and step back if you need to. Don't beat yourself up for not getting wherever you thought you should be at a certain point.
Right.
You know, I get that for some people, there is a necessity for them to be at certain points in their life, right? Maybe, I don't know, for child rearing purposes or right. something like that.
Well,
but still,
mm-hmm.
be kind to yourself.
Exactly. You know? Because when you don't, it's like what you were telling me earlier, when you are, you know, you're not, and you try to stick to this rigid, you know, step lock kind of plan, then you get, you know, caught up in that, and you don't, you know.
And then that becomes a vicious cycle.
Exactly. It becomes
that like cycle. Digging yourself out of that.
Exactly.
Out of the inflexibility. Digging right. yourself out of beating yourself up.
Exactly. Because then you're constantly beating yourself up if you don't hit that mark.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't. So you have to be really kind of careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to go and to step back and reevaluate and then to reward yourself for the little things. You must, because that way you don't get stuck in this whole, oh, I didn't do it. Okay. I'm going to stop. Or, oh, I'm a bad person because I didn't do this. Oh, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't, that action gets stopped and you don't want that.
So we said all of that to say that, you know, I don't know. How do we summarize this?
Well, the way that we summarize it is that we are still challenging you guys to come out of your comfort zone and to really do some introspection work. Introspection work is a process. It's mm-hmm. not something that you can do overnight. Nothing happens. Success or anything that's really worth having does not occur overnight.
Correct.
There is work that has to be done. There's action that needs to be taken.
Declarations that need to be made.
Yep, declarations need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to commit to that.
Right.
You know, once you commit to that and once you start doing it with some intention, then, you know, you have a workable goal.
Right.
So the idea is to start first looking within. And no, it's not comfortable. No, there's a lot of things we don't want to, you know, admit or look at. But in the long run scheme of things, it'll help you to develop a stronger foundation for this goal.
Right. So like when, you know, using my example again, when I came to DC, you know, I did not have a plan of doing hair.
Right.
And being a sister arts consultant full time. But I chose, once I saw that it was something that I could work, I got in front of it by doing some introspection and going, okay, well, I need to put some things in place because
exactly.
I can't just keep flubbing my way through this day by day.
No.
And then I also, you know, once I got to that point of seeing that this is something I was going to work on as, you know, as an attainable goal,
mm-hmm.
I made a declaration. I had made a declaration that I wanted to leave here one day being known as Sister Locks.
Mm, okay.
And I accomplished that at that time. You
yeah.
know, I everything I did aligned with being known. I was, you know, people were seeking me out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I chose to, you know, that was the declaration I made. And then all my actions were in alignment with that self-reflection and that plan.
Awesome.
So I got, mm-hmm. was uncomfortable, as you
yeah.
said, you know, I got uncomfortable because I came here to get a job.
Yeah.
And that was not it.
No. And then, you know.
You know, I was supposed to go back to IT, you know, that's
right.
what I was supposed to do at that time.
And then the things that you, you know, since you kind of jumped right in the middle of it, the things that you learned,
mm-hmm.
you know, from that, from
my failures.
Yes.
Because I did yeah. have some failures.
Exactly.
There, you
but
know?
You were flexible enough, you know,
yeah.
you looked at your plan as flexible enough.
And I kept what I wanted in front of me.
Exactly.
Declaration of being known, you know what I'm
right.
saying? So
right.
I knew that it was going to take something. I was not going to always be comfortable and happy with everything that I did. That people weren't going to always be comfortable and happy with everything I did. Those who stuck with me, and things turned out well.
Yeah, things turned out just fine. Takeaway, look within yourself to determine what your wants and your needs and your desires. Write it down. Stay motivated. Be flexible.
When you see yourself in that vicious cycle, step back.
Yep, step back.
And maybe you need to reassess and try it again.
Exactly.
And it's okay. And be gracious with yourself.
Yes.
You know, give yourself, you know, be nice, kind to yourself. There right. it is. Be kind, have some kindness and reward yourself with kind words, kind actions.
And affirmations.
And affirmations to yourself. So goal setting is going to be like one of the next so many episodes we've created. Exactly. You know, we're doing a series as we had mentioned before in the last episode. And the next one that we're going to take on is going to be
health. Health goals.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you can do the introspection and then what?
Right.
What are you doing next?
Exactly.
So that's the mental part we just did, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, this was just the idea of how to, you know, establish your goals.
Introspection.
Introspection. Like okay. Starting there first.
Okay. Yep. And so then the next one is going to be about health and wellness.
Health and wellness.
Mental well-being is a part of that too. So yep. mental health and physical health.
Yes.
Okay, so we're back. And we're doing our signs again, like we said we would.
Yay!
And this time it is
Aquarius. And my name is Larry.
Is it Larry?
I don't know, Charles.
Whatever.
Look, everybody's Larry.
It's going to be a Larry for every damn sign we do. It could be like Pisces.
And my name is Larry. Cancer.
Leo.
And my name is Larry.
Okay, but seriously.
Float on. No.
Okay, so seriously though, we are doing Aquarius.
Yes.
And just like we did with the Capricorns, we're going to do the traits, the positive and negative traits.
Vices and virtues.
Expound upon them based upon our own personal experiences. And boy, do we have personal experiences with you Aquarius.
Man.
What?
Who?
Wait now. Men, women, wait now. Hold up.
Although,
wait now.
Interestingly enough.
Wait now. I have.
Wait now.
No, oh, you're so silly.
I'm sorry. We've taken our silly juice right now.
See?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I have the best relationships with the Aquarius females. One of my very best friends from college, she is an Aquarius. We are like peas in a pod. It's like kismet with us.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah. Now the men, right. So, yeah.
Well, I don't say it's the opposite. Actually, I get along pretty well with Aquariuses for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They have the things, just like all signs about them, that I'm like,
Right.
Really?
Right.
You think that's going to work? It ain't going to work.
Right.
I think I can be an Aquarius whisperer at times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
For those listening.
Mm-hmm. That's going
to
be
they
real
they just went to sleep because I put them to sleep because I said sleep.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. Okay. We'll test that theory out later. sooner and later.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they all send us ugly emails and Instagram comments.
Right. Right. This is going to be funny. All right. We'll jump in with the traits.
What's all that? Right. So positive traits.
Virtues.
We always want to start with the positive before we get to the negative. Yes. Let's just go there.
Virtues.
Charismatic.
Yeah. Very.
Very.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all can be charismatic. Yeah. All right.
But I think that's what attracts me and the males because I'm Aries are charismatic.
So you tell yourselves because y'all tell you.
I am charismatic.
I can't wait to get to Aries. But anyway.
I have charisma.
Yes, you do.
Anybody who meets me says I am very charismatic.
Yup.
Charming. Nope. Charming. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
You know they're kind of the same, right?
Well, see, there you go. Charming.
Oh, shit.
I'm charming.
Did you just say, well, there you go.
See?
Ha ha.
Anyway, what's the next trait?
Please. Let's move on. Intelligent.
Very.
They're usually a highly intelligent people, even if they playing dumb.
Because
some of them are not necessarily book smart, like meaning like they don't prove them. I will say they don't necessarily always prove themselves in school or something in a scholastic way. But they are smart because they will maybe read up or they'll research things that they want to know. And they usually have a good conversation. Diverse. They're very diverse in their conversation.
I've never met one that hasn't done well in school, male or female.
Well, I can't say that they are. When I say well, meaning like they may not have 5,000 degrees or something like that. Oh, I have met some that are more manual labor, blue collar type people.
Got you.
But technical difficulties. Anyway, but they are great business people, and they're real savvy.
Yep.
So there, I can say it's the intelligence, you know, it may not just be, I guess that's what I'm trying to distinguish about Scholastic. They may not have a white collar career, but they're still pretty smart.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Okay. Independent.
Mm-hmm. Somewhat. Yes.
I don't know. I think everybody can be independent. So I don't know if that's a positive trait or just a trait.
Period.
Anyway, let's move on. Friendly.
Very
friendly. That goes with that charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very charming and friendly. Mm-hmm. They usually can dazzle a crowd if their personality is on that level. Now, some, you know, everybody isn't everything. But yeah, I can say that they're overall friendly.
The way I look at them is like nobody they ever meet is never a stranger. Like it's always everybody they meet is a friend. Like, you know what I mean?
If they have friends.
I mean, I've seen most of them I know have friends. Okay. I'm getting the frog face. She gave me the Kermit the Frog. You know how Kermit.
No, because you was about to say something. And I know more. So.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we'll move next. On. Inventive. I can see that. Because they're usually, like most of the Aquariuses that I've met are very artistic. And it's funny, like my dad is on the cusp. He's a Capricorn, but he's on the cusp of Aquarius. My dad's very creative and artistic.
Well, my grandfather was my grandfather was on the cusp. But he was creative in terms of his writing, his prose, his and poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so very poetic.
Now, yes, because I know a guy that was a great poet and still is, not like he was, but you know, still is. And he's an Aquarius. Gifted of the word. They have, if they have the gift of the word, they're very inventive with it. If they have the gift of art, they're very inventive with
it. My friend Allison is like that. She, woo, man, she can put some words together. She did this one poem. Everybody was just like, dang. Anyway, yeah.
Idealistic.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because they live in a...
Yeah, sometimes you'd be like, come back.
Come on back.
Right. Back here.
We're not doing that. That, you know why they call it an ideal? Because it doesn't exist. That's why it's always ideal.
I think it's because they're...
Wish it existed.
Yeah, it seems to me like they're always in their heads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Intuitive.
Yeah.
I guess I never noticed that about them, but I guess. Yeah. I'm sure it's there. Humane. Now, this, I can say, is definitely most Aquariuses I know or have engaged with in some way or fashion are very giving of themselves to people.
Yeah.
Very giving of themselves to people, almost to a fault. And I say that because sometimes they give and they give. I mean, when we think humane, I mean, some of the best examples would be like Oprah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, Oprah. Oprah.
You get a word and you get a word.
Oprah and Ellen.
Yes. I mean, they're like big name people that you know.
Yes.
And you can see that their humanity is always there for them as far as giving and being those type of people. I mean, Oprah gives and Ellen give to organizations all the time. Not to mention on when Oprah had her show, but Ellen has a show on their shows to people. They seek opportunities to give. So, I can totally say that. And they have an expectation unspoken that you should be giving back to them the same way.
Wow, I never knew that.
Oh, I have experienced that. And it's been in subtle ways, but I've even experienced, like, I used to call it the klepto syndrome.
Ooh. She said
klepto. I used to call it the klepto syndrome. Okay. I know two Aquarius female friends that I had. That
I told you about that, right? Like, I couldn't believe it.
Do your hair and then my products walk away.
Right.
And you bring them back like, hey. And I'm like, why are you carrying my products that I've been looking high and low for? Oh, I just thought that, you know, I could use it for my trip. But you didn't ask anyone.
Right.
Well, I would have gave it to you if you needed it, but I would have asked you.
Right, right.
That kind of crap.
I got you.
So to me, that's the kind of they're giving. Now, I know that's not necessarily humanity or humane per se in that sense of like social, right?
Right.
But it's still, they have a giving heart. They really do.
Yeah.
But they're giving sometimes, they have an expectation that because they give so much, and I can speak from my father's point of view too, because they give so much, they really don't understand that the world doesn't see the same or doesn't give back, and sometimes it hurts them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, negative traits.
Ooh, the vices. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Vices.
Unpredictable.
Indeed. But that's sometimes that to me that makes them fun. But then I mean
spontaneity is cool. Spontaneity is cool. I never really see. Yeah, I guess because we are both
spontaneous. Very
spontaneous. Like, I don't see being unpredictable a flaw.
Yeah, no, me
to
either.
The rest of the world, oh, okay. I can see that being a flaw, you know. But yeah, I don't necessarily say it's a negative trait, but it is what it is. Maybe in a negative way that if you want to know what they're doing and they don't tell you, and they're not necessarily going to communicate again, that unpredictable situation of my products walking away.
Right.
That wasn't a fun, unpredictable moment.
No, I can imagine.
I called it kleptomania.
Right.
Okay.
No, or just trying to like kind of popping up ideas, and you're just like, but we don't have time now to do this or to do that because you've decided, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's it's a negative because it's not well thought through.
Okay. Yes.
Perverse. Oh. As in, they like to be out the box or seen.
Yeah, I think they like to be, right, they like to shock and awe.
Yeah,
and they like to shock and awe. From a, and to them, it's almost from a, I think this is funny kind of thing.
Yeah, they so, think it's funny, and they like the reaction. It's more like about the reaction of you, that you give to them when they do something that there is, quote unquote, perverse.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, I hope y'all know what it means, but in case y'all don't, I mean, just think perverted, like against what is expected, you know? So,
something.
They tend to be out the box.
But it's funny.
Meaning like they are good to go against the grain.
Oh yeah.
And then like you said, for the reaction or the shock and awe of it, you know. So and I can see that being annoying.
it but see, again, to me that's part of that whole spontaneous thing, and it doesn't really that has never bothered me. Again, on the male or the female side. Because you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Eccentric.
Yes. 100%. But I don't see that as a vice either. I love their eccentricity.
I don't see it as a vice.
So India Irie.
Is it an Aquarius?
Yes. She's eccentric. When I think of eccentric Aquarius, it's her. Now, can we move on with that one?
I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure there's others to name. But anyway, let's keep moving.
All right.
Tactless. Now, that they always getting in trouble for something popping out their mouth.
Kenya Moore. Now, there you go.
What's her name on the same show? Marlo Hampton.
Oh,
Marlo be like, bloop, bloop. They be like, oh, could you? Oh.
Yeah, I don't like her either.
Well, I'm just giving out people I know. Tactless, they can be. Mm. They will pop something out their mouth and then look around when people's like walking away from them like, oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. Disorganized? That's interesting. I've never met one that's disorganized. In fact, they're kind of neat freaks.
No.
The ones I've met.
Some of the females that I know are I won't say
really?
I won't say they're neat freaks, but I wouldn't say that they're 100% organized either.
Okay, well maybe I'm thinking their space. Their space is usually organized and you know, men that I know, their space is usually particular. Now, are they organized in their head?
No.
Absolutely not. Because that goes back to the whole unpredictability.
Right.
And all that. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
Impulsive.
Yes, Lord.
To a fault.
Yeah.
That's a fault.
But see, that impulsive, again, that
bull
impulsivity.
Crap. Somebody got to be the damn adult.
I know, but I'm just saying, for me, it's, and that's the male and the female side too. Me and my friend Allison, we picked up and convinced somebody to take us to Mardi Gras just on a hunch. We was like, let's go to Mardi Gras. And we went. So yeah, we're very impulsive. That was
that's
fun.
That's not, yes, impulsive and spontaneous can, yes, and even still the day of, impulsive and spontaneity can have its life. It can be a positive, but sometimes the impulsiveness is rash and it looks and it occurs in an out as an action in the world, sloppy or like
flighty.
It looks flighty. So I can understand how it's a negative trait.
I got you.
Rebellious. They do like to buck the grain.
I've never seen Again, but because I...
Idealistic is always going to be balanced with rebellion.
I've never seen... I guess I don't see that rebellion piece. Like, I've never bumped heads with them, so I guess it doesn't seem like
rebellion. Why are you bumping heads? I'm saying if they're idealistic, they can be rebellious because they live in their ideals.
Gotcha.
And so if their ideals don't coordinate or coincide with what is happening around them, they rebel against it.
I've never seen them do it.
I've seen it, and I guess it goes back to what I was saying about the poet. You know what I mean? Like, you writing poetry, your poetry is about your ideals, or it has some, it's about based upon what you think, right?
Right.
And it kind of is rebellious in some sense or nature, you know?
I'm sorry. Yes, I got you. It makes sense to me.
So that is the positive and negative traits of an Aquarius. Our new touch, though, it should be that we just go through this little quick list of some famous Aquariuses. Yeah, and just like, okay, so...
who's eccentric and who's not?
Or who's whatever and who's not. Let's go back now that we know these positive and negative traits. So, Bob Marley.
Ho. Oh. What does that have to do with the trait,
because
though?
most Aquariuses can be hoes, okay?
I know, but that wasn't they one get, of the traits
I'm,
that we
yeah,
had.
Yeah, I know. I'm making that one up. Oh, they're Lord. Big hoes.
Okay.
They can be hoes, okay?
Okay.
They can be loving. Oh, there it is. We'll just call it loving. But if they had a model, I would give their model to be, they coined, I bet you it was an Aquarius, I'll say it this way, they coined, you gotta get over somebody, to get over somebody, you get underneath somebody.
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Bob Marley, he probably coined it. Okay.
Alrighty, with his 300 kids.
And his 300 kids and his extramarital affairs that his wife knew about. Okay, right. Oprah Winfrey.
She's eccentric.
She's a humane. Humanitarian. She's very humane. Very giving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael Jordan.
Ho.
Okay, that is a sloppy thing, though. They do not finish. They like to go and try to find new people before they're finished.
Okay, I'm going to give
that to you. He had an extra person before he was finished. His papers weren't even signed.
But that wasn't a trait, but go ahead. Okay, it wasn't a trait that we read or mentioned. Anyway, as you sing the song, there's some holes.
It was so funny, I love Aquarius men, but...
I know this.
I don't know, but I'm an Aquarius whisperer, so, you know. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That theory still has to be proven.
Kelly Rowland.
She's
a beautiful person.
Yeah, she's I think humane,
she's,
I guess.
She's nice. I don't know. She's friendly.
Yeah, she's very friendly.
Charismatic.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Chris Rock.
Oh, man. All the men are hoes.
No.
Okay.
We're going to find some females on here. Anyway, no, Chris Rock is, I like Chris Rock because of his,
idealism.
He's idealistic. Yes. He's a comedian. Yes. So, and he
goes against the grain.
He's the grain. Rebellious. So he could be a little perverse.
Oh, very perverse.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to shock and
he
all.
He likes to shock and all. let's see. Tatiana Ali. I don't really know her.
No.
Let's move on. Right. Amber Riley. No, really, no, her either. Brandy. Oh, yeah. She's eccentric. She tries, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe her being perverse is trying to be eccentric.
Mm.
She trying to do the Sean.
Shock and awe. She does try to do shock.
Shock. Anyway, okay, let's move on. But, yeah, she tries to do the...
I can't say it.
Shock and awe.
You get a word and you get a word.
Forget you. Okay, yeah, but she tries to shock and awe, like when she lied and said that she was married.
Oh, that's right.
And she wasn't.
Yeah.
Just so she could have a baby
right.
out of wedlock
yes.
and still look good, even though everybody was like, why can't you just be a single mama? Yeah. Why you got to go through all of that? And I mean, she had us all believing, right?
Yeah.
Lying, and then that guy came out like how many years later?
Right.
The hell. Anyway. Salida Eubanks, we don't know you.
She's the model, but I don't
again,
know her.
We don't know you. Okay. Jam Master Jay, you're gone. We don't really know you. Kerry Washington, perverse. I think she does stuff too shocking. Oh, this is the legend. No, we said, I'm sorry, let's go back.
Oh. Kerry Washington?
This is the one that allegedly slept with...
Who?
Chris Rock.
I didn't know that.
That's what they say.
When did that happen?
On the set of one. I mean, when you remember they did that movie together.
Oh, right. I Think I Love My Wife.
Now, I wasn't there. You wasn't there. Ooh. But that's when the rumors popped off. And
that was a hell of a scene when she... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's eccentric.
She's eccentric. She's eccentric. She is eccentric.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Butterflies in the sky.
Who are you?
I can fly twice as high.
That's my man, LeVar Burton. I love LeVar Burton.
Chicken George.
Stop it. He's not Chicken George. That was, Ben Vereen was Chicken George.
Oh, shoot.
See? Who was LeVar Burton? Was Kunta Kinte.
Oh, yeah. Young Kunta Kinte.
My name is Kunta Kinte. Your name is Toby.
Anyway. He's not eccentric or anything like that. Yes, I just like LeVar.
You think LeVar Burton is eccentric.
He's a weirdo? Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. He's strange. Mm-hmm. His laugh. You ever heard him laugh?
No, I don't even want to get into it. The Weeknd. Yeah.
Now, his
hair alone just gives away eccentric all day. Okay? Like, there it is. Poof. There it is.
Yes.
Gucci Mane.
Yeah, Gucci Mane eccentric. Go on.
But you know what? Mm. That giving thing?
Yeah.
Because he gave Keisha Kaur all his money to invest while he went to jail.
Well, that was kind of smart.
Yeah.
So that might be that.
But he trusted her.
Well, hey.
I'm just saying.
I got you.
All right. Kenya Moore. Hated it. Anyway. Actually,
moving on. Huh?
She's one of those giving, caring people. She's one of them. No, listen, though. Her friendship has that double side to it. Like, she thinks she would be, to me, the klepto friend.
Yes.
She would be the one that comes in and she thinks because she did something for you, you should automatically do it for her, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why she always was hated. Because she would have her ideals of friendship that didn't get reciprocated all the time.
Nuts.
Alicia Keys.
Oh, never stop it. I'm not even. She's eccentric and giving. She's giving and eccentric. The whole idea of the no makeup now and going
and
against the grain, rebellious.
Over somebody by getting under somebody.
She did. Okay. Yes, I'll let you have did. That. She did. She did. Okay.
I'm telling you, that's it. That's what they model should be.
Oh, brother.
Aquarius. I mean, Aquarius. And your name is Larry.
Share the sweet nectar of your life. Give us your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Hit us up on our Facebook page at The Hummingbird Effect Podcast or slide into our DMs on Facebook Messenger. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Gmail in the links in our bio. Thank you for listening.